This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
We're going to discuss communist operations, recognizing them. There's one happening right now. We're going to discuss the refugee situation. We have a huge show tonight, and I'm right. All right, before we get into communist ops, communist operations, operations targeted directly at you, we wanted to take a moment, because we didn't get a chance to last week, to honor the fallen. Army Specialist Sarah Beckstrom was 20 years old, walking a post with the National Guard in Washington, D.C., a vicious, violent animal who should not have been in the country, killed her. And she died for this country. Her service is every bit as honorable, her sacrifice every bit as honorable as anybody who's ever worn the uniform. She died 20 years old, serving her country, and we just honor this warrior as she passes on. All right? Say a prayer, please, for her family. Christmas coming up, it's just going to be a very tough time for her family. Say a prayer for them, please. All right. Now, this is going to be, you're going to have to bear with me for a couple moments. This is going to be about communist ops, communist operations, because they're always running them. They're very, very good. They've always been very, very good at coordinating seemingly different entities to converge to run an operation. Operations always for a purpose, and not to spoil the ending for you, the purpose is never for your good. Believe me, it's always for your ill. But there's been a lot of talk in the past couple days about war crimes. Pete Hegseth, did he order SEAL Team 6 in to murder a couple drug dealers? Okay. So, first of all, you remember Afghanistan. Specifically, you remember the terrible way Afghanistan ended. I know you do. We all do. It was awful. Biden administration just ruined the whole thing so they could try to have a September 11th parade. It didn't work out well. We pulled out, a bunch of people started dying, we went back in, then 13 of our warriors were incinerated by an ISIS suicide bomber with ball bearings at Abbey Gate, and you remember that. We lost all those warriors. Okay, so we got all that. We know that. Do you remember what happened afterwards? The Biden administration, they had thought that the pullout of Afghanistan was going to be a big political win for them. Turned out to be a huge political loss, a big scandal. It looks bad. People are falling from C-130s. And then 13 of our warriors die. Now it went from any kind of a win to the worst possible loss. And they were very, very image conscious. In fact, that's all they cared about at all. Lives, your life, the country, that never crossed their mind. They were very image conscious. So what did they do? They felt pressured to respond to that terrorist attack at Abbey Gate. And what did they do? They sent a Reaper drone out. A Reaper drone, very deadly weapon in modern combat, incinerated 10 people. 7 of the people it incinerated were children. And they were all innocent. None of them were terrorists. They weren't with ISIS. Completely innocent. Not really morally any different than the federal government sending a Reaper drone to incinerate your house at that Thanksgiving celebration you just had, you and your family. Just as innocent. And after we incinerated 10 innocent people, 7 of them children, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs stepped up and he said this.
We know from a variety of other means that at least one of those people that were killed was a ISIS facilitator. So, were there others killed? Yes, there are others killed. Who they are, we don't know. We'll try to sort through all that. But we believe that the procedures at this point, I don't want to influence the outcome of an investigation, but at this point we think that the procedures were correctly followed and it was a righteous strike.
A righteous strike. And after that, I'm not going to play it for you here, John Kirby, he was asked on camera, we just murdered 10 people after the facts came out. We just murdered 10 completely innocent people, 7 of them children. Who's going to jail? Who's getting fired? Kirby responded, oh, no. We did an investigation and it was a process failure. No, one's going to jail. And the guy's like, well, is anybody going to get fired? No. Nobody's going to be fired. Okay, well, is anyone going to be reprimanded? He was actually asked that. No, there's not going to be any reprimands at all. 10 innocent people, 7 children, like the federal government bombing a daycare in your town. No one was fired. No one was even reprimanded for it. Now, why did I bring all this up? What's this have to do with what's going on right now? Well, as I mentioned, Pete Hegseth, the Defense Department, this is all happening under the Trump administration, obviously, were nuking drug boats coming from Venezuela. The drug boats leave Venezuela, by the way, they go up into Mexico. There, the drugs they drop off are trafficked up through our southern border. We're nuking the drug boats on their way to Mexico, essentially the drugs on their way to the United States of America. This has happened over 20 times already. Well, you see, you've noticed in the last 24 to 48 hours, calls for Pete Hegseth to be arrested, for him to resign, for him to step down. Let me go ahead and let you know right now, what you're watching are not people upset about war crimes, innocent civilians, international law. These were all the same people who had nothing to say after we murdered 7 Afghani children. What you're watching right now is a communist op, a communist operation, an operation that is designed to do something, and we'll get to the something in a moment, but designed to do something. And the important part of this is they do this kind of thing all the time. And once you pick up on the patterns, you can recognize it, and you have to always understand that the something, whatever that something is they're trying to do, is not good for you. It's always bad for you. You never, ever, 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 under any circumstances, participate in a communist op, because you understand the communist op is designed to hurt you and things you love. So let's rewind. Remember that video the Seditious Six put out about illegal orders?
This administration is pitting our uniformed military
and intelligence community professionals
against American citizens.
Like us, you all swore an oath
to protect and defend this Constitution.
Right now, the threats to our Constitution aren't just coming from abroad, but from right here at home.
Our laws are clear. You can refuse illegal orders.
You can refuse illegal orders.
You must refuse illegal orders.
No one has to carry out orders that violate the law or our Constitution.
We know this is...
Okay. Well, let's go through this chronologically. Did you know what took place before that video came out? A Soros, actually I believe multiple, Soros-funded NGO started putting up billboards. Billboards really saying this exact same thing. Hey, you in uniform? Don't follow any illegal orders. Hey, you can give us anonymous tips. Refuse these illegal orders. Billboards go up. Then, really out of nowhere, it was out of nowhere, wasn't it? You have these United States senators putting out this produced, edited, even music in the background video, refuse illegal orders. Okay, so we have the billboards, then we have the Seditious Six, and then comes the Washington Post, because that's really where this story about executed drug dealers originates. So I'm not going to go over the long, ugly, sordid history of the Washington Post. I know you don't need any help to hate the Washington Post any more than you already do, but one thing you absolutely, positively have to understand is the Washington Post has been a mouthpiece for the deep state for longer than you've been alive. A long, long, long time. They have a long history of working directly with the Central Intelligence Agency on various operations. The Washington Post can never be trusted. They work hand in hand with the deep state. We had billboards, we had the video, and then boom! Sunday, the story comes out in the Washington Post, the big Sunday paper. That's the paper that's always the widest in circulation, after all. Pete Hegseth has drug dealers executed! Okay. Well, after that, all these people ran to the news to say this.
Based on what CNN is reporting, what the Washington Post is reporting, do you believe if there was a second strike to eliminate any survivors, that that constitutes a war crime?
It seems to. If that is true, if what has been reported is accurate, I've got serious concerns.
Well, first, if that reporting is true, it's a clear violation of the DOD's own laws of war, as well as international laws about the way you treat people who are in that circumstance. And so this rises to the level of a war crime, if it's true.
Do you think there was a war crime committed?
Oh, I think it's very possible there was a war crime committed. Of course, it's either murder from the first strike, if their whole theory is wrong, and I think, you know, the weight of the legal opinion here is that they've concocted this ridiculous legal theory. But even if you accept their legal theory, that it is a war crime. And so I do believe that the Secretary of Defense should be held accountable for giving those kind of orders.
The billboards, the video, then the news story, then every single news program, all these communist senators running to the media with accusations of war crime. And of course, after this story comes out, Donald Trump's being asked about it. See, this is how an op operates, and once you see it laid out before you, you can recognize it more easily. It's not just about the op they're currently running against Pete Hegseth, which is obviously designed to divide the Trump administration, possibly cost Pete Hegseth his job, drop Donald Trump's approval numbers, all these different things. Clearly, the op is designed for that, but you have billboards, you have senators, you have commercials, you have this show, the Washington Post, all collaborating for what is an obvious op. Now, here's a word of caution for you. The chances are probably pretty strong you like Pete Hegseth, so you'd be more apt to defend Pete Hegseth. But let's say you hate him. Maybe you do. Lots of people do. Maybe you hate Pete Hegseth. This is a key for how communist ops have been successful many times in the past. Human beings, all of us, we are naturally biased for and against certain people, whether or not we like them. And when you hear something bad about someone you like, you tend to question it. I do the same thing. We question it. And when you hear something bad about someone you hate, you tend to believe it. Communist ops rely on you participating in them to be successful. They need the masses to take it in and spread the word in order for the op to succeed. Otherwise, these communists are all just talking to each other on CNN, at the Washington Post. If it can't break out from that bubble, then it's not going to succeed. Let's say you hate Pete Hegseth. You see these stories on the news, you see read the story in the Washington Post. If you hate him, you're apt to believe it, and then soon, probably unknowingly, you are online participating in the communist op. But you know, that is against the law. You know, I've never liked that guy. I never trusted him at all. You probably don't even know that's what you're doing, but you're participating in the op, and you are helping it succeed. They run this playbook over and over and over and over again. They always have. Before the America's communist movement ever took hold, they were running ops like this in Cambodia, in the Soviet Union, in China. They always do this. It is effective unless you recognize it. So right now, it's not even about this one. Right now, repeat after me. I will not take part in communist ops. I will not take part in communist ops. I will recognize them and refuse to participate because I know the communist is an evil demon who only has my worst at heart. All right? All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, speaking of Venezuela, communist op aside, what's going on down there? And why? We'll talk to Ammon Blair in a moment about that. Before we talk to him, don't want to brag, but we had a big neighborhood Thanksgiving party. What we brought was a pretty big hit. No, it wasn't just Ob's dessert. See, I brought a dip and masa chips. And no one at the party had heard of masa chips. And I actually got made fun of when I walked in because I went, "Oh, are these the healthy chips? Oh, what are you doing?" And then the chips were gone like that. When I tell you to buy masa chips, I actually don't tell you to buy them just because they're better for you. That's a nice side benefit. They're the best chips I've ever eaten in my entire life with three ingredients. You don't have to feel fat and bloated and miserable. You don't have to live like that. Go to massachips.com/JesseTV and buy a couple bags. Get a couple different flavors. You'll never buy another chip, and you can eat them guilt-free. We'll be back. The airspace is closed over Venezuela. Look, President Trump put this up on social media. I'm going to quote him directly. "To all airlines, pilots, drug dealers, and human traffickers, please consider the airspace above and surrounding Venezuela to be closed in its entirety." What? Joining me now, Ammon Blair, senior fellow at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. He's also a veteran, fought for this country, and he was awesome last time he was on here. Okay, Ammon, can you break down what exactly is going on? We have 15,000 troops in the Caribbean, and now we've closed the Venezuelan airspace. This kind of seems like something's about to go down.
Yeah, 100%. If you remember, Jesse, I think 3 days after the attack, the Hamas attack in 2023, the Houthis took over the Red Sea. And how did they do that? And how did they support that effort? Well, the majority of that support came through illicit channels, whether that's by sea or whatnot, through our greatest enemies. That's going to be the CCP, Iran, and Russia. So they were supporting logistically, also with weapons and whatnot, to the Houthis, as well as the drug trade. So when we look now at what we're doing with Venezuela, all we're trying to do is we're trying to suppress that same pipeline that traffics, whether that's going to be weapons, personnel, technology like telecom systems, you have it. We're going to try to shut down every avenue, every domain, and that includes the air domain. You know what's interesting? Something I wish we could do is actually control our own airspace on our southern border, which is kind of interesting that we've asked or we've told that the airspace surrounding Venezuela is going to be shut down for all commercial and also other ways or means to travel outside and in Venezuela. I really wish we could do that, not only on our military bases here, but also our southern border. If you recall recently, the NORAD commander came out and said that we can't even understand the threat of our own air domain surrounding our military bases, as drones are making incursions on a daily basis. And then on our southern border, we have thousands of drones making incursions. So it'd be great if we applied the same level of measure that we're doing to Venezuela that we do to Mexico itself.
Yeah, I remember when we let a Chinese spy balloon over all those bases as well. But that's another story for another day. All right, Ammon, zoom out for us here. What's the angle? What is this about? Because honestly, I've spent a lot of time over the last few days with just normal people, not political hacks like you and me, yeah. Normal people. And they weren't necessarily against or for action in Venezuela, but none of them really understood why. I got a lot of that question. Why? What's this really about? Is this about Maduro leaving? Is that simple?
Sure. Great question. So if you take a step back and you talk about communism all the time, and you yourself are the leading expert on anti-communism. If you look at our Western Hemisphere, the epicenter for communist activity, for the CCP, for Russia and others to enact their operations on the Western Hemisphere, that is going to be Venezuela. It used to be Cuba, and then Hugo Chavez kind of learned his ropes, I guess you could say, with the Cuban regime, took it to Venezuela, and then Maduro followed with that. So right now, what you're seeing is strategically and as well as operationally, Venezuela is the epicenter for all of our enemies throughout the world, whether that's China, Russia, you name it, to operate. And so in order for us to attack the system of that seeks to thwart us in the United States, we must attack it at the center of gravity. That center of gravity where all operations exist is going to be Venezuela and Maduro. So if we can take it at the focal point, if we can take it out at that center focal point, then a lot of the other actions, whether in the Caribbean nations, every other nation in the Western Hemisphere will also crumble as well.
Evan, so if these people have the backing of places like China and Russia, and they obviously do, I mean, they've done military exercises together, so you do speak the truth. Aren't China and Russia going to help them, or can they even help them? Can they project power over here in a significant way to hold us back if we're trying to get rid of Maduro?
Great question. And what's interesting is they are actually looking like they're pulling back a little bit in terms of helping Maduro at this point. There was a New York Post piece just recently, just a day ago, talking about this. And for your listeners out there, I would highly suggest you guys starting to read Southcom's media platform. It's called Dialogos Americas. They're actually putting out a lot of information in regards to exactly why we're operating in U.S. Southcom, how we're operating, what Maduro is doing, their links to China, their links to Russia, their links to Iran. All of that can actually be found, and they're writing articles, information pieces almost on a daily basis.
Ammon, let's shift gears here and talk Mexican cartels, because this is look, Trump's been all over this as well. He's been ramping up things down there. Every other day we wake up to a story of Trump says he's going to bomb them. Then the Mexican president says, no, don't do that. Then he says, okay, I might. But what is happening? Are we going to escalate? Is it, as it stands now, is it going to stay this way?
Jesse, to be honest, I hope it doesn't stay this way. As I said earlier, look, I really wish we would take the same level of threat analysis and the same level of actions that were taken against Maduro and Venezuela and also in the Caribbean as we would to Mexico. As it stands now, it looks like we're still letting Mexico decide what they're going to do in terms of the southern border, in terms of countering their own cartels. They're going to extradite. They're not going to extradite. They're going to go after fentanyl labs in Mexico. They're not. It is very difficult to ascertain exactly what Mexico is doing because they're in Afghanistan next door. The Mexican cartels are embedded from the subnational level all the way to the national level. It's very difficult to trust any intel report that is actually coming from Mexico, whether they are taking out fentanyl labs. And so when you look at everything that we're doing in the Caribbean, when it comes to going after Tren de Aragua or Cartel of the Suns and their drug boats, why aren't we doing that same very thing to the Mexican cartels? Why aren't we doing the same level of national defense operations on our southern border here in Texas? Why is it that our air domain, like I said, mentioned earlier, why is it still open? Why is it that we still can't understand or have domain awareness of how many incursions, what's making incursions both in air, land, sea at the Rio Grande and our coastal waters, electromagnetic spectrum, as well as the cyber spectrum? We still don't have operational or 100% domain awareness of our southern border. And so to me, it seems, why is it that we're addressing Maduro with so much weight when we could be addressing that very issue with President Sheinbaum in Mexico, their elected officials, and also our southern border?
Why can't we get a hold of this drone situation? You've mentioned it several times. People I know who know a lot more than I do, just like people like you, all talk about this same situation. We cannot get a hold of the drones around our bases, around the border. Is it just a matter of, and I'm genuinely asking, I'm too dumb to know, is it just a question of the technology isn't there yet to defeat drones? The drones have outpaced the anti-drone technology as of right now?
You know, great question. You actually posted something on social media recently. You asked about what are the current tactics, techniques, and procedures in Ukraine. Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because Mexican cartels actually went to the Ukraine battlefront to learn specifically drone warfare. So then they now come back and you look at Cartel del Noreste down there south of Laredo, you look at the Gulf Cartel, you look at Cartel Jalisco New Generation, you look at the type of drones that they're operating with, you're seeing that they're using fiber optic systems just like you see in Ukraine to make it so that we can't take them down with electronic warfare. And something that's really interesting that never really made the news is that they actually took down two of our military drones on our southern border. They took it took two drones from our Texas Military Department down, one kinetically and one using electronic warfare. The cartels don't have the bureaucratic system in order to procure the necessary means to make incursions into the U.S. like we do. If we want to go through the process of trying to counter these drones, we must have to go through the FAA. We must have to go through the Department of War. Now we must have to go through the Department of Homeland Security. We must. Then we're going to probably get sued by whatever state in the union. And so we have all this backdrop. At the same time, we have the cartels figuring out, hey, you know what? All we have to do is do exactly what's happening on the Ukraine-Russia battlefront, bring it into Mexico. Mexico's not going to stop us. The U.S.'s bureaucratic process is not going to stop us. And so here we sit. We sit with the southern border where they can make incursions on a daily basis without us even stopping it. They can make incursions on our military installations without us even stopping it. And that is not even me saying that. That is also the commander of NORAD.
Good grief. Evan, awesome as always, brother. Come back soon. We're going to talk a little bit about these refugees in a moment. Before we do that, probably going to have trouble sleeping tonight. Oh, we all do occasionally. Too much stress, too much caffeine, life being what it is. And that's where dream powder comes in. Now, I know it sounds pretty exotic, if you will. It's just wonderful natural stuff. Drug-free. It's a cup of hot chocolate. It's delicious. And it has reishi in it and magnesium in it and all these, the melatonin, all these things that are natural. And so you, before bed, you sip on a cup of hot chocolate and then you just drift off to sleep. That sound good? Good natural sleep where you wake up feeling great. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back. Why do communists bring in so many foreigners? What is the angle? Is it that all these foreigners have read the works of Karl Marx and now they just want to implement? No, it's not that at all. It's not that at all. The communist is a revolutionary. He is trying to have a revolution wherever he happens to be. That revolution is going to involve killing people, destroying things, burning down the country where his revolution is taking place. Therefore, the biggest threat to him, the biggest enemy to the communist, are patriotic citizens of whatever country he's having a revolution in. Because people who love their country don't want it destroyed and don't want it burnt down. So, if you want to burn it down, you got to go find some people who will allow you to do it and, in fact, help you to do it if you bring them into the country. That Afghani scumbag who killed that wonderful young lady, the National Guard soldier, Sarah Beckstrom, he was, of course, brought in from Afghanistan. Now, why was he here? What happened? You remember, talked about it a little bit in the opening of the show, Afghanistan fell because of the Biden administration, they screwed everything up, then they looked bad on camera. Well, they looked bad on camera because civilians were falling from C-130s and the whole country was in chaos. But then they found what was, for them, the perfect solution, you see. What's the solution? Well, if people are pointing out how many innocent civilians are dying over there, then what you need to do is save them, you see. How do you save them? Throw them on a plane and bring them to America. That's how you save them. Then You've, in the mind of a communist, killed two birds with one stone. You get great PR from saving these refugees, and you get a loyal, hostile foreigner who will vote Democrat and murder as many Republicans as they possibly can, and so will their 85 kids they've brought. And the Biden administration, of course, lied through their teeth and talked about all the vetting.
What reassurances can you make about the screening process and the attempts to make sure that somebody like that doesn't make his or her way here?
I can absolutely assure you that no one is coming into the United States of America who has not been through a thorough screening and background check process.
We're conducting thorough security screening in the intermediate stops they're making for anyone who is not a U.S. citizen or a lawful permanent resident of the United States. Anyone arriving in the United States will have undergone a background check. And we must all work together to resettle thousands of Afghans who ultimately qualify for refugee status.
Well, that's a lie. You ever been through a background check? Or known someone who has been through a background check? You know how long it takes? Why does it take so long? Well, you have to go and you have to interview people who know that person. You have to dig through documentation, criminal history. We were loading Afghanis onto C-130s as fast as humanly possible. It took about 5 minutes. They didn't background check anybody. They didn't vet anybody. Alejandro Mayorkas essentially had to say as much a little while later.
The standard procedure is an in-person interview for refugees or visa applicants. Now, you've testified that you're not doing those interviews.
Not at all.
That they're not happening.
You are correct that we are not conducting in-person full refugee interviews of 100% of the individuals.
What percentage are you conducting?
I don't have that information.
What number have been interviewed?
What we are doing...
Wait. What number of the more than 60,000 brought to the country, what number have received an in-person interview before they came to the country? Because you said 100% are screened. So what percentage have been given an actual interview by a trained official before they come to the country?
When you're speaking of a full refugee-like interview, I don't have that data.
They didn't interview them. They didn't care. This is about PR and bringing foreigners in. Some people die afterwards. Doesn't matter to the communist. He's fighting a revolution. People die. And you had dutiful little communists, foot soldiers like Jack Tapper, calling you a bigot if you didn't want all these people here.
There are a number of other voices in the Republican Party that are already, whether on television or on tweets or whatever, starting to demonize Afghan immigrants, starting to talk about this is Biden's plan to put more Muslims in the country, starting to insinuate that these are bad people, they're terrorists, et cetera, really rank bigotry. What's your reaction when you see it? Because it is, I wouldn't say it's the prevalent voice in the Republican Party, but it's getting louder.
That's what the communist does. Bring as many barbarians into your country to rape and murder and pillage. And of course, bleed you dry of your taxpayer money. And the second you throw a fit about it, they'll call you a racist. Don't allow these communist tactics to work. Cut off all immigration, legal and illegal, and start deporting tens of millions of people if you want to save America. All right, speaking of which, we're going to talk to Julio Rosas about all this stuff in just a moment. Before we talk to Julio, I want to talk to you about maximizing your masculinity, your energy, your focus. That's really what we're talking about here. How do you do that? What do you do when you drink estrogen, when there's estrogen in the waters and you're showering and your T levels are dropping? Every single bottle of water, they go down. Well, you got to keep drinking water. You have to take steps to reverse it, and that's what a male vitality stack from Chalk will do for you. They have female vitality stacks for the ladies as well. Natural herbal supplements from Chalk will save your freaking existence. You'll be so much better at work, at home. You will be mad at yourself for all the time you spent not taking any Chalk. Natural herbal supplements are the way forward. Go to chuck.com/JesseTV. Start today. You are 90 days away from feeling better. We'll be back.
Do you know what the motive was at this point? Do you believe the suspect acted alone?
You know, we're still going through all of that information, and I'll let the FBI and DOJ reveal new information. But I will say we believe he was radicalized since he's been here in this country. We do believe it was through connections in his home community and state, and we're going to continue to talk to those who interacted with him, who were his family members, talk to them. So far, we've had some participation, but anyone who has information on this needs to know that we will be coming after you, and we will bring you to justice. We absolutely were persecuted. You because we do know that we will never allow this to continue to happen in our country. Allow individuals who came to our country that were unvetted by Joe Biden, allowed to run free and loose. We are going to bring them to justice and make sure that they're returned out of this country if they aren't here for the purposes of being an American.
Who was this freaking guy who killed one of our soldiers? Has another fighting for his life. Let's talk to Julio about it. Joining me now, United States Marine. You can check out his Substack at mostlypeaceful.media, Julio Rosas. Julio, you, as always, have done some digging on this scumbag. Who was he? Why was he here? Why did he do what he did?
So apparently he was brought over during the fall of Afghanistan back in 2021. And so, I mean, at the time, there were concerns, obviously, that because the Biden administration was really focused on just getting people onto planes to juice up the numbers, that the people that, quote unquote, deserve to be on the planes weren't necessarily the ones getting on it. Now, in this case, it, you know, appears that this guy was part of a CIA unit from during that time. And there's some reporting by Jerry Dunleavy where the unit that he was a part of, the CIA cut a deal that said if you help secure the airport in Kabul, you will be evacuated along with your families. And so that appears to be kind of the deal that was set up. And so I know that people are, you know, there's still a lot of, you know, questions that need to be answered, right? Because it's not just the fact of how he got here. So it's like, okay, so he's been in the country for about, you know, 4 years, you know, going on 5 years. You know, what has he been doing? You know, did he have any of this animosity prior to you know, being flown from Afghanistan? You know, and I was the first one to report that this terrorist screamed, you know, Allahu Akbar while he was carrying out this attack. And you know, and so there's very much a lot of, you know, just this is just the continuing effects of the Biden administration's disastrous policies. And I will say that people have said, well, his asylum claim was approved this year under the Trump administration, and so clearly the Trump administration is at fault. And what I would say to that is, like, well, actually it shows that clearly, even though this guy was supposedly vetted, you know, to the point where you're working not just with just the regular military but with the CIA, and they're still willing to carry out this attack even though they were brought over to the United States, that shows that this was a bad idea to begin with. And I think a lot of people knew that at the time, but they still said, well, we can't have the bad optics. We already have bad optics at the border because that was happening during that time. So we gotta compromise national security in order to avoid that. So this is it's to be expected, unfortunately, that something like this was bound to happen, whether it's someone from the southern border or someone that was brought over in that chaotic evacuation period.
Julio, clarification on something, and I understand so many details are fuzzy, we may not know, but worked with the CIA. The second people hear that, they think this guy was dressed in all black, low crawling through an air conditioning vent to pick locks and things like that. You know, people immediately go to that, but doesn't sound like his involvement was that in depth. It was, hey, help secure an airport. Was he more involved than that?
From what I've seen, yes, because it was beyond translation, right? I mean, that was kind of the standard, mm-hmm. You know, priority for people. It's like, you know, like, oh, we got to get the translators, we got to get all these people out. But from what I've seen, it looks like he was more involved with carrying out significant missions, with CIA, with CIA units, on behalf of the CIA. And again, I just go back to, okay, so, but then you go back and you ask anybody, not even just Afghanistan, but since we're talking about Afghanistan, you ask any GWAT vet that deployed to Afghanistan, and they will have dozens of stories about how problematic the Afghan allies were, how they were not trustworthy. And I know that right now the people that have been advocating for Afghans to be relocated to the United States, they say, well, we can't blame this one guy and put it to the whole population. But insider attacks were common throughout the entire time period that we were there in that country. Unfortunately, there were many cases of green on blue attacks, and now you're seeing a lot of veterans on social media talking about how. So one case, before we went out on missions, we had to confiscate the Afghans' phones for 48 hours, and we couldn't tell them where we were going because we didn't want them to leak that information to the Taliban or Al-Qaeda. So this was problematic from the start, right? And so it is completely crazy then to say, well, we're going to airlift 100,000 people out of this country with all these problems and resettle them in the United States. And just assume nothing bad is going to happen as a result of that. And really, that's one of the reasons why President Trump was elected, because we're done with that idiotic policy. America first means that we put the priority and the well-being of American citizens first. And when something like this happens, it just highlights how we can't continue policies like that.
Julio, State Department is pausing visas for Afghan passport holders. That sounds great. I'm all on board with that. But how many of these people are already here, and what's the plan for that? Are we rounding them up and shipping them home? But how does this work?
Well, for the first part, the answer is too many, in my opinion. No. But also, this is a problem, right? Because the administration, unfortunately, is having to play catch up on everything, and especially when it comes to immigration. I mean, that's just a web that can go all different places, and it's not as simple as, because some people have kids at this point, so now they're technically American citizens, and it's not just with Afghans, right? I mean, this is just, like I said, it's the whole totality of this problem. So I think obviously there's going to be a renewed focus on that. And I mean, because this guy drove from Washington State. I mean, this guy went out of his way in the most inconvenient way possible to do this, right? So this was premeditated. This was clearly thought out to do this. And we're seeing all these other cases where, again, Afghan nationals who were brought over or who came over the southern border, they're being arrested for plotting attacks on American soil. So. I think the administration is going to have to really focus on that, and I know that they are. But then you take in all the other nationalities from all the other problematic countries that have problems with terrorism, because Afghanistan not the only one where you had people coming up through the southern border from. So it's just it's a cluster. It's a cluster, and that's why it was important that DHS and ICE and Border Patrol got their increase in funding through the One Big Beautiful Bill. But that obviously takes time to implement. And so, I don't fully expect this, unfortunately, to get resolved even within Trump's remaining term, because of all the problems that I've said. This has been going to be a decades long problem, and we don't really have that time. So I believe it's going to be worked on. It is being worked on, but it definitely requires move with a purpose.
No doubt. Julio, thanks, my brother, as always. All right. Lighten the mood. It's AIDS Day. Next. All right. It is time to lighten the mood. And I know we're all kind of tired of there being a national day for everything, but today is National AIDS Day. And I thought, I'm probably not qualified to speak about this. I'm sorry, World AIDS Day. I'm probably not qualified to speak about this, but I just want to go back to when the American president gave credit where credit was due.
By the way, it's all his fault that we're spending $6 billion in taxpayer money this month to help AIDS fight HIV/AIDS.
I'll see you tomorrow.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.